I invite you to take your Bibles and open them this afternoon to the book of Joshua in the Old Testament, Joshua chapter 6. Joshua chapter 6, and we will read the entire chapter together. So beginning at verse 1, this is God's holy word. Now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king and the mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city, all you men of war. You shall go all around the city once. This you shall do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. But the 7th day you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. It shall come to pass when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great shout. Then the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people shall go up, every man straight before him." Then Joshua, the son of Nun, called the priests and said to them, "Take up the Ark of the Covenant, and let 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the Ark of the Lord." And he said to the people, "Proceed and march around the city, and let him who is armed advance before the ark of the Lord." So it was, when Joshua had spoken to the people, that the 7 priests bearing the 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the Lord advanced and blew the trumpets, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. The armed men went before the priests who blew the trumpets, and the rear guard came after the ark, while the priests continued blowing the trumpets. Now Joshua had commanded the people, saying, "You shall not shout or make any noise with your voice, nor shall a word proceed out of your mouth, until the day I say to you, 'Shout,' then you shall shout." So he had the ark of the Lord circle the city, going around it once. Then they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priests took up the ark of the Lord. Then 7 priests bearing 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord went on continually and blew with the trumpets. And the armed men went before them, but the rear guard came after the ark of the Lord while the priests continued blowing the trumpets. And the second day they marched around the city once and returned to the camp. So they did 6 days. But it came to pass on the 7th day that they rose early about the dawning of the day and marched around the city 7 times in the same manner. On that day only they marched around the city 7 times. And the 7th time it happened, when the priests blew the trumpets, that Joshua said to the people, "Shout, for the Lord has given you the city. Now the city shall be doomed by the Lord to destruction, it and all who are in it. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all who are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And you, by all means, abstain from the accursed things, lest you become accursed when you take of the accursed things and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. But all the silver and gold and vessels of bronze and iron are consecrated to the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord." So the people shouted when the priests blew the trumpets. And it happened when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat. And the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. And they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, ox and sheep and donkey, with the edge of the sword. But Joshua had said to the 2 men who had spied out the country, "Go into the harlot's house And from there bring out the woman and all that she has, as you swore to her. And the young men who had been spies went in and brought out Rahab, her father, her mother, her brothers, and all that she had. So they brought out all her relatives and left them outside the camp of Israel. But they burned the city and all that was in it with fire. Only the silver and gold and the vessels of bronze and iron they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. And Joshua spared Rahab the harlot, her father's household, and all that she had. So she dwells in Israel to this day, because she hid the messengers whom Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. Then Joshua charged them at that time, saying, "Cursed be the man before the Lord who rises up and builds this city of Jericho. He shall lay its foundation with his firstborn, and with his youngest he shall set up its gates." So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame spread throughout all the country. And we won't read it at this time, but our text will be found in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 30. We'll read it at the beginning of the message. Dearly beloved, many of us know this Bible story of Jericho, maybe even all of us. Most of us also know the children's song that goes with this story. Joshua fought the battle of Jericho, and the walls came tumbling down. It's an exciting story. It's a great victory. But there are many exciting stories like this and great victories like this in the Bible. So what sets this one apart in particular? Well, here is the key to this chapter. This is the key that we need to understand what happened here in the Battle of Jericho. The key is Hebrews 11 and verse 30. We're told in the New Testament, Hebrews 11 verse 30, that by faith the walls of Jericho fell down when they were encircled 7 days. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell. So Jericho is a test of faith. Now, it's not a test of faith in the sense of it's testing Israel's faith. Let's see how strong Israel can believe. But this is literally a test of faith. Faith itself is being tested here. Faith, as in God is putting faith on display here for us, as if to say to Israel and to us, look at what faith can do. What do we think of faith when we think of faith itself? What do we think? I think perhaps that we can have little faith in faith sometimes. And we can probably come honestly by it, because even if we're Christians, we can look at our faith and our experience and we realize it's not always the best, is it? We're so often like Peter, the disciple, walking on top of the water one moment, the very next moment we're sinking below the waves. Our faith can be so up and down. It doesn't feel strong, does it, our faith, often? Do you know what I'm talking about? Have I just described your faith? Well, our experience then of our faith, I think, can cause us to have a sort of low view of faith. And we don't think faith really as being strong, except maybe in, you know, the Apostle Paul. Of course, he had strong faith. Or John Calvin, you know, these rare exceptions, strong faith, but not us. Faith, no, is weak. But you know, the Bible teaches us something different about faith. It's true that we might have little faith, or we might have a lot of faith. But any faith that we possess, little or a lot, is strong faith. Right? We might have differing amounts of faith from differing from one another or differing even from one day to the next, but no matter what amount of faith we have, that faith itself is never weak. Faith is strong, super strong. Do you know this is why the Lord Jesus in the Gospel of Matthew says this? He says, if you have faith that is as a mustard seed, so even just a tiny amount of faith, a mustard seed can fit on the tip of your finger. If you have faith like a mustard seed, he says, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. And that's what Jericho is also teaching us. God wants us to know how strong faith is. We are called to trust our entire eternity on believing, on faith. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the New Testament will tell us, and you shall be saved. We need to know then, we need to have confidence then, that faith alone can save us, that it's able to. And the Battle of Jericho teaches us just that. And if you're someone here this afternoon who struggles, you say, I know I should believe more, but I find it so hard sometimes. I don't even know if I could produce more than a mustard seed size of faith. Right? This is meant for your and my encouragement this afternoon. Right? Because if even you possess a mustard size amount of faith, then you have more than enough faith to save, because faith is incredibly strong. So the New Testament gives us this key to how to understand the Battle of Jericho. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell. Faith brought down these mighty walls. So let's walk through this chapter, Joshua 6, and see how God puts the power of faith on display for us. First, notice, here's our first point, that this is an impossible task. An impossible task. God sets before Joshua and Israel a very impossible task, at least humanly speaking. But you know, God does this because he wants faith to be exercised and put on display. He often does it like this. Right? He comes and he puts something difficult in front of us. Right? Maybe it's one trial or another. Maybe it's a sickness or another. Maybe it's a person in our life who's difficult. Or maybe a circumstance that we look up against with dread and fear, you know, kind of like the mighty walls of Jericho, and we're standing before them and we think like this, I don't have any idea how I can get through this. No idea. And that's what he does here for Joshua and for Israel. You know, God had promised them the land of Canaan. Right? This was the promised land, and he brought them out of Egypt with a mighty hand. He brought them through the wilderness despite their grumbling. He brought them into the land of Canaan by splitting the waters of the Jordan River. They walked through on dry land. Everything was so easy, right? The promised land is going to be great. It's going to be easy. Then this. The first thing they encounter when they cross the Jordan is a great obstacle. Jericho. An impossible task. What was Jericho? Well, Jericho was a walled city. It was a fortress city, really. Its walls were so thick that there were houses that were built into those walls. Imagine how thick those walls, how big they would have been. Right? They would have needed catapults, trebuchets, battering rams, a full arsenal of siege equipment to conquer that city. In other words, they would have needed everything they did not have. As slaves, former slaves, and people who were born in the desert, who lived in tents, they never would have had any of this stuff. And then on top of that, we read that Jericho shut themselves in. Right, this is how verse 1 begins. Now Jericho, it says, was securely shut up. All of this is to say is that they had no chance. Absolutely impossible, humanly speaking. But this is going to be the whole point of this chapter and the lesson that God is teaching them and us. God is going to show them how powerful faith is, what faith can do. And he's creating here the perfect scenario for that, where nothing else is going to work. So they'll have to go by faith or nothing. And then notice what God now says. Verse 1 tells us that this great walled fortress city of Jericho was securely shut in. And then verse 2, notice how God says this. He says, And the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king, and the mighty men of valor." Now, just stop and think about that for a moment. I mean, I wonder if Joshua's first thought was, are we looking at the same city? See? No, I don't see. I see a walled fortress. That's what I see. You know, this is something we might expect God to have said, perhaps if the people of Jericho were careless that day, if they had left the city gates wide open, or if all the soldiers were napping, or if the king and all his mighty men of valor were far away attacking some other city that day, and then God might say, "See, look, I've made it easy for you. The wall, here's the city. The walls are open and empty. The gates are open. There for your taking." But no. The soldiers were all there. The walls were manned. The gates were shut. Men of valor were looking at them over the wall. The king was present to command them. It was armed to the teeth and ready for war. And God says, "See, I've given Jericho into your hands." He's purposely setting an impossible task before them, physically speaking. Now, to Joshua's credit, we don't read of him running away in despair. How many of us wouldn't have done that very thing if we were in that situation? Wouldn't have thrown up our arms or complained? Right? We do that often, don't we? At least I do, I know. Something difficult is put before me. My first reaction so often is, how am I going to do this? I can't do this. And if you're anything like me, you look right away to yourself, right? To your own strength. You measure your own strength. And if you don't think you have enough strength, you grumble, you complain. How? It's impossible. But what if God is wanting to show us how strong faith is? And that's why he's putting those big obstacles in our life. And so right away, our first glance at Jericho is it's a walled, armed fortress, an impossible task. But that's not where God stops here in making this difficult for Israel. Because now, here's our second main point, now he also gives them a strange strategy. So we have an impossible task, now we have a strange strategy. And this is verses 3 through 5. Now, so he tells them, march around the walls of Jericho. It's all shut up. Spears, bows maybe showing over the side of the wall, shields, armor, glinting in the sun. And God says, march around this city 7 times. 7 days in a row, and then on the seventh day, 7 times. So this might be the part of the story that we love. We do love this part of the story, don't we? This is what makes it so memorable. But none of us are soldiers here. I don't think we are, or were. But men, husbands, do you think this would have been easy to do? We think it's so easy, but would it have been easy? Because there's the enemy right there in front of you, armed to the teeth. There's your wife and your children right over here. And God tells you to walk around the city over here. Would you be eager to do that? Right? Because verse 3 tells us not all the people marched around the city, just the soldiers and the priests marched around the city. At least that's what it appears to tell us. And that they were already probably thinking, how are we going to do this? How are we going to take this city? And now God says, do this. The strategy that God gives Joshua here, humanly speaking, from a let's go and conquer the city standpoint, we would say is very strange if we weren't so familiar with it. Now, of course, this seems strange to us in this because none of us have ever been ordered to walk around a city to take it, to conquer it. But in another way, this is very familiar. This is something we face all the time. Not the walking around the walls, but God's strategy for how to live. God commands us in the Bible on how we are to live our lives before Him, how we are to face obstacles. And often, by our human standards, by the world standards, they're strange commands. For example, the biblical role of husbands and wives in marriage seems very strange by the world standards today. You know, and they're partly right. There are many wives, women, who would be better leaders than their husband. But God says husbands are the head of their wife. And then we could say the same thing about the church, about men called to be elders and pastors in the church. There are many other women who could be far more qualified to lead, but God says, these are the ones I've called. Or how about this, something different. In Luke chapter 6, the Lord Jesus says this, to one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other side also. And from one who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Right, that's what we're how we're commanded to live. Now, that makes no sense, humanly speaking. Right? Who here would do this if you wake up in the middle of the night and you hear your car being stolen in the driveway, and you run out there? Who here would shout, "Hey, you're stealing my car! I've got a second one in the garage here. Here, let me open up the door for you." No, what do? We go and buy a bigger lock for our garage, don't we? God gives us strange commands, at least by our human reasoning, by the world's reasoning. Do you know another strange command? This command that he gives us to walk by faith and not by sight. And that, of course, gets to the heart of what's happening here at Jericho, isn't it? Walking by sight would have been much more reasonable. It would have caused them, if they walked by sight, they would have gone out to the woods. They would have started chopping down trees, making catapults, trebuchets, making battering rams, all kinds of shields, siege equipment. Walking by sight, but walking by faith, well, that would have had them marching around the walls, strangely. But you see, this is faith. Faith obeys God's commands, even though we might have a better way to do something, so we think. Faith obeys God's commands, even though the common wisdom of the world would have us do something another way. Faith knows this. Faith admits this. Faith doesn't wrestle and say, "Oh, but I've got a much better way." No, faith says this, that my aim is not to be efficient, first of all. My aim is not to be practical, first of all, above everything else. But my aim is to obey God's word above everything else. And so marching around the walls of a city in order to knock those walls over, literally is completely useless. If you have an old shed in your backyard that you want to knock over, you going home tonight and walking around it seven times will not do anything, obviously. We know this. That's why we never try it. It's useless. But that's the point here. The point of the impossible task now, the point of the strange strategy, is the only way that Joshua and the people march around this city is by faith. That's it. They're not going to do it because they weren't as smart as us, and they think that if we just, you know, enough footsteps on the ground around the city 7 days in a row will weaken the walls, and the mortar will come loose, and eventually, you know, perhaps, maybe, it might fall over if we're loud enough and the trumpets are blowing loud enough. No. No, the only way they march around the walls is if they obey God and they believe. And they do. They believe. They march around the city for 6 days, once each day. And then on the seventh day, they march seven times around it. And the priests are carrying the ark every time as God commanded. Why? Because God said so. And they blew their trumpets every day as God commanded. Why? Because he said so. And then on the seventh day, the seventh time, all the people shouted. Why? Because God commanded. And when they shouted, what happened? The walls of Jericho fell down flat. Or as Hebrews 11 says, by faith the walls of Jericho fell. It was an impossible task. The strategy was strange. And yet what happened? By faith they won the easiest victory ever in the world. Was it not far easier than battering rams and siege equipment? Israel runs into the city, they conquer it, and not one Israelite soldier is lost. That is the power of faith. It's not our conventional wisdom that brought Israel this victory. It was faith alone. But this is not the whole story yet. We have an impossible task, we have a strange strategy, and now we have an unlikely rescue that also shows us the great power of faith. An unlikely rescue. Who's rescued in this chapter? Rahab, isn't she? Rahab is saved by God. And now here, with Rahab, the story becomes more personal. Because faith that can knock down walls, sure, shows us the power of faith, but it's still kind of distant, kind of cold and impersonal. But this is not just about walls falling over here. In fact, the greatest victory won at the Battle of Jericho here was that the walls of Rahab's heart fell down. Rahab the prostitute was saved. How? By faith. Faith is strong enough to save a sinner like Rahab. So think of Jericho on this day for a moment. Right, chapter 2, Joshua chapter 2, we're told that Rahab's house was built into the side of one of these walls of Jericho. In fact, she let two of the Israelite spies escape through a window in her house, which was in the wall of Jericho, by letting them down on a scarlet rope, this rope which she left hanging in the window even till that day. What do you think her house would have looked like after the walls of Jericho fell? It's the seventh day, marching around the city, the seventh time on the seventh day. The trumpets let out their long blast. Joshua raises his hand. The people all shout in unison. 2 million people shouting. What a sound. And the walls come tumbling down. So imagine this. Imagine the noise, the energy, the dust. And then the trumpets stop sounding. The people stop shouting. Quiet settles in. The dust begins to settle and clear. What were the people looking at in that moment? Well, They were looking at a completely ruined city, rubble everywhere, except one small part of the wall, a small tower rising above the battlefield, Rahab's house. Imagine that. Everything else was flattened, but part of the wall that held Rahab's house stood firm, a single tower standing tall among the ruins, and that scarlet rope blowing in the wind like a beacon, a banner of faith. You know, in the Battle of Jericho, faith not only knocked walls down, but faith also kept walls standing. And Hebrews 11, verse 31 says, by faith, the prostitute Rahab did not perish. But who is Rahab? Well, she's not obviously a part of Israel if she was in the city of Jericho. She was a Gentile. She was not some rich, famous, powerful person of Jericho either. She wasn't someone we would call a saint either with her lifestyle. Rahab was an outsider, a nobody, a female nobody, a prostitute. But all of Jericho fell. All the people fell. What were the odds of her, out of all those people, what were the odds of her being saved? This lowly prostitute. Very small, very few, very little. But what saved her? Faith. Faith was strong enough to save even this outsider who had such a little chance. She believed that the God of Israel could save her, and that faith in God saved her. The most unexpected person out of all of Jericho to be saved was this prostitute. And it was by faith, the New Testament tells us. And this is the message here for us. You know, if faith is able to save the most unlikely person here, like Rahab, then faith is able to save the most unlikely person here, whoever you are. It's strong enough to save everyone here, me and you. And it doesn't matter who you are or who you have been or what you've done in your life. You could even be a prostitute. Maybe you're a thief. You've been a thief. Or a drunkard. You know, maybe you're addicted to drugs. Maybe you're an adulterer. Maybe you're a murderer. Maybe you've committed an abortion. Or you love pornography. Faith, even a little bit of faith, is strong enough to save you from your life and to change your life. Faith has enough power to rescue you, to bring you back to God, where He will forgive all your sins because of the grace given through Jesus Christ and what He has done. And God can forgive you and welcome you, no matter where you've been or what you are. That's the strength of faith. Faith is strong enough to help and save even the worst of sinners. And maybe you're thinking, well, that's not me. I'm not any of those things. I'm not that bad. Well, do you know that in the Gospels, when the Lord Jesus came and ministered on earth, do you know who the worst sinners were then in Jesus' ministry? They were not the prostitutes or the thieves or the drunkards. They were the Pharisees, the religious people who confronted the Lord Jesus the most and hated Him the most. They were those who trusted, they were religious, but they trusted in their own good works, their own good religion. And they didn't love God, they didn't love their neighbor, they just loved themselves. And their religion had hardened their hearts so much, they were impossible. It was an impossible task for them to love others. They loved looking good in front of others. Oh, that's what they did. And I wonder if that's where you are, whether you're here or whether you're listening at home, if your religion is only on the outside and not on the inside. Even you can be changed and saved. Even a little bit of faith, like a mustard seed, can change your life. And it's powerful enough to bring you love into your religion and joy into your religion and draw you close to the Lord Jesus Christ. Wherever you are, whoever you are, if faith can save Rahab, this outsider, it can save you too. And let me tell you why. Why is faith so powerful? Why does God want us to know faith is so strong? Why is it so strong? Because faith connects us to God. And God can do all things. And so if you have faith, even a little faith, Paul Tripp says, it's never just you. It's never just your wisdom. It's never just your power. It's never just your ability. Because by grace, God has attached you through faith to His power. And so in this moment here in Jericho, it's not puny little Israel against this mighty fortress city. No, it's this puny little city against Almighty God. And who do you think is going to win? God, faith connects us to God's power. And God, in His great power also, His might, sent His Son Jesus Christ to the cross, and there He bore the just penalty against all our sins. Though it cost Him His life, by His power He raised His Son from the dead again. And by Jesus' death on the cross and resurrection, God the Father is now able to extend that power to us and to forgive our sins and to welcome us and to give us eternal life. And that is what faith does. It connects us to a God of great mercy and great power. But then still the question remains, I want to ask this yet as we close. Why did the walls of Jericho fall just because Israel walked around them? Why did they fall? You know, he doesn't do it for us if we would walk around something. Well, obviously, God caused them to fall, didn't He? God brought them down. And this is not a silly question to ask to wonder why. It's a real good question. You know, because He doesn't do things so obvious like this today. Knock over city walls. You don't hear of this on the news. People are walking around and something miraculous happened. So we can wonder, is this just a fairy tale? You know, a Sunday school story that we believe as little kids, but if I try to have this faith, it doesn't have this kind of power. So why did these walls fall down when they walked around them? Well, it's simple. God commanded them to. That's all. And He knocked them down. Our walls don't fall down when we walk around our house because God hasn't commanded us to do it. Israel's faith, you see, was not in their marching. Their faith and its power was in God who told them to march. They obeyed God's command and the walls fell. And this is how we are called to live by faith today. We're called to obey God's command. And as we do, we're called to leave the rest up to Him. Believe that He is able to do as He promises. Our job, if I can put it that way, is simply to obey and believe. You know, even if the strategy is strange to a watching world, and it often is, right? The Bible is often ridiculed and mocked, even among Christians. Or even if the task is impossible in our minds, and it often is, faith believes that God is powerful and that He can do whatever He commands. And he can save even the worst of us. So now, I began with this question, now let me end with it. Now, what do we think of faith? Do we have little faith in faith? Be encouraged. If you ever think little of faith, come back to this chapter. Think of the walls of Jericho. Think of Rahab. God teaches us how powerful faith is. Now, this isn't the whole message of the Christian life. Of course not. The very next chapter is the Battle of Ai. And the very next chapter in the Battle of Ai is going to show us the power of sin. A little bit of sin in the life of Israel is going to defeat them. Jericho is a big, powerful city, comes falling down easily by faith. Ai is a little tiny city. It defeats Israel because of a little sin in their life. There's power of sin too. But this chapter is focused on faith. The power of faith. Remember how strong faith is. Do not think little of faith. Remember how strong God is. He is the one in whom we put our faith. Amen. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for so many wonderful pictures in the Old Testament, true accounts in history that were written down for our faith. We read even in the New Testament that the prophets of old prophesied knowing that the things they prophesied about that were happening in their time were not first for them, but first they were for us, the people who were to come. And so this story was not first for Israel, but it is for us. And by it we are to learn that through faith nothing is impossible. Lord, we often confess we have little faith, and our experience of faith goes up and down. If we're honest, oh Lord, we would say it's often down, but we're so thankful that even a little faith is what unites us to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're saved ultimately not through faith itself, but because faith connects us to Christ and his power, and he is the one who keeps us saved. So keep us, we pray, Lord Jesus, and give us even that mustard seed size of faith. Direct our eyes to you. And though when we look at ourselves, we may sink and fail under these impossible tasks, lift us, our attention, our focus to Christ and to you, our triune God. Give us faith. Faith that saves, faith that transforms our life. So thank you, Lord, we pray. And we also want to give you thanks along with our brother Hank Koskamp, who celebrating his birthday today, 90 years old. Lord, we thank you for every day that you've given to him. We thank you for the years of grace and mercy, for your patience with him, as every dear believer must say. And we pray that you encourage him this day and set his eyes too upon you in faith, trusting that you are strong to save and to keep us even into eternal life. For all others who celebrate a birthday this week or a special day, Lord, we give you thanks and we pray that they may be able to confess your grace given to them also. And we rejoice at all of the gifts that you give to us. So bless us now as we go. We thank you for your word that may be on our minds now, and we pray also in our hearts by your Spirit. Send us with that blessing into this new week, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.